fraction milling. That's the other option. That's process grinding small rib texture into the concrete that gives 360 degrees traction with every step. Every step that the cow makes, you've got, you know, pretty much firm support. There's no slip and catch thing. We developed that in the mid 90s. AgriTrack, the traction milling works very well going over top of existing grooving. It even works better if there isn't any grooving, because you got less manure on the floor.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Mycotoxins can threaten feed and cattle performance. DSM Firmenich offers a portfolio of solutions to help mitigate the impact of mycotoxins in your feed.
With early detection in health, reproduction, and feeding, SmaxTech future-proofs your dairy operation. Excellent, a novel product for the management of hypocalcemia. It's uncomplicated excellence. Priority IAC, the only company bringing the fields of microbiology and nutrition together. Adiseo USA, producers of Smartamine M and MilkPay.com. Volac, unlocking ruminant potential through nutritional solutions for a sustainable future.
All right, welcome everybody to this episode of the Dairy Podcast Show. I'm your host for today, Gail Carpenter. I'm joined by Tom Woodall from AgriTrack Incorporated. Tom is the owner of AgriTrack, which was founded in 1997, but he has been working in barn renovations since 1975. So a wealth of experience that he comes in with. And Tom, I'm going to kick it off by asking you, why is lameness an issue?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. You know, there's a lot of factors that come into play with lameness in today's dairy herds. You know, the nutrition, genetics, disease, injury, environment. You know, overall, lameness can produce can make a cost to the producer of over $300 per cow per incidence. And when the general consensus is that lameness in a dairy herd is anywhere between 20 and 50%, if you can reduce that cost, that's your new profit in these times of tight margins and everything. So, you know, you can gain a lot that way, you know, by reducing it as much as possible. And to be part of that on the environment side, where the hoof meets the floor, so to speak, that's why I do what I do, is because it's really good to be part of that solution, you know, helping cows and producers and hoof trimmers. They're all partners in trying to eliminate lameness and the costs associated with it as much as possible. And I got to give credit to, you know, the hoof trimmers and the producers and the cows, because I've learned it all from them, not out of a book.
Yeah. So I think that leads us into the next question, which is, what are your experiences with barn floors throughout the years?
Okay, great. Well, I've seen and worked in the evolution of, you know, dairy barns and cows, you know, the changes that have taken place over the last 60 years. You know, high stall barns with 20 to 50 cows was the norm when I was growing up, you know, and in my early career in the 70s and 80s, I was modernizing those barns by ripping out the old stanchions and making the stalls wider and longer for the cows. You know, the modern cow now is, you know, almost twice the size as it was when those barns that were being built in the 20s and 30s. So, yeah, it's, there's been a lot of changes. You know, freestall barns were still kind of a novelty, in the 70s, and oftentimes they were a disaster because, you know, they had a lot of ventilation problems and everything, trying to figure out the ventilation and loose housing. And, yeah, so, it wasn't long before they figured out that the solution to that was to just create a new design barn. with the engineers and the farmers and the contractors, and just start out with a whole new facility and renovate the old barn for housing for the calves and the heifers and that sort of thing. Building of these new barns, you could have bigger parlors, and now they have robotic milking. There's been a lot of changes. But as with everything, there's always a trade-off. Temple Grandin, she's great for always quoting that there's always a trade-off. Nothing's free. And the result is that you got larger herds and less effort and work for the farmer because of the modern equipment that's been developed for feeding and manure handling and all that sort of thing. So, we think, well, what could be the downside of that? But the downside is that the cows have to walk everywhere instead of the farmer, and they have to walk to get water, to eat, to get milked, and sometimes three or four times a day, depending on how often you're getting milked. And on the average, a cow walks half a mile or 2 kilometers every day, and that leaves more opportunity for stepping on a stone or wearing down the hooves or slipping and falling. So if we can, those are all potential causes of lameness, and if we can eliminate some of them, it would be hard to do completely, but if we can eliminate some of them, that would, it can be done with management and maintenance.
Absolutely.
Tired of seeing your herd slip and fall? At AgriTrack, our traction milling process transforms your barn floors with 360 degrees of traction, reducing slips and falls while improving cow comfort and preventing lameness, resulting in a healthier herd and a more profitable farm. Visit agritraction.com to learn how we can help keep your herd healthy and your bottom line strong.
So what is out there in terms of barn floors, and how does this affect cows?
You've had a lot of guests previously that I've heard the podcast, and they're just great with, talking about management of lameness and all the different things that you can do. But I kind of like to focus on the creation and maintenance of the biggest part or the biggest piece of farm equipment on every dairy farm. We need to look at that sort of thing.
So what is that? What is the biggest piece of farm equipment?
Well, it's funny, the routine regular maintenance of tractors, trucks, milking equipment, that's all done on a regular basis, sometimes daily. Thankfully, the concept of regular maintenance with the cows and their hooves is becoming commonplace now, with good hoof trimming and the hoof trimming practices that these professionals have. Regular scheduled hoof trimming, it can be viewed as an investment, not an expense. The control and reduction of lameness. A hoof trimmer friend told me one time, he says, we can invest in bigger, faster fire trucks, but why don't we just invest in fire prevention? And that's what a good hoof trimmer does, is he works on the prevention of the fires that start on cow's hooves, basically. So the cows are what makes the money on the dairy farm, not that bright, shiny tractor or new tractor. So focus on the cows. They're the ones that make the money. So
that's right.
Yeah. Now, the largest piece of equipment on the farm that's used every day, every minute, for years and years. And it's often the most neglected, is the barn floors themselves. It's durable, but it's not indestructible, especially when you look at the most important part of the floor, and that's the surface, you know, where the hoof meets the road, so to speak. I spent 25 years of my life breaking out 4 to 6 inches of perfectly good concrete, you know, because the top eighth of an inch was wrong. So it was my back more than my brain that helped me just try and figure out what we could do, you know, to change that top eighth of an inch rather than having to pour a whole new floor.
So what happens to floors that make them so slippery?
Oh, there's so many variables. Did your floor go with the lowest bidder who was building the new barn? You know, 1500 PSI concrete looks pretty much the same as 4,000 PSI concrete to most people. Sand bedding in barns, the floors wear down much faster than if you're using straw and shavings. Automatic alley scrapers, you know, they're more gentle on a floor than going in there with a skid steer or a payloader and propping the front wheels all up and grinding away at the concrete. So yeah, those are all things that wear down a floor. And oftentimes in floors, the texture isn't worn down at all. It's actually filling up with lime and minerals and things. The lime from the cow beds gets kicked out onto the floor and basically turns into mortar. And minerals from the water and the urine, they get left behind on the floor due to evaporation, you know, from heat and air movement and that sort of thing. So that all gets stuck to the floor and becomes part of a floor. And that gradually eliminates any form of traction that you would have. You know, I've seen a lot of barns too that in the past 15 years or so that have been poured with way too much slope. The theory was that you want a clean, dry floor. So they slope the floors in, you know, to make the liquid run off and leave the solids. Well, what happens then is that the solids get smeared back and forth like peanut butter, then dries into, like a 3/4 inch layer of chipboard that's greasy and slippery. You want a clean floor, not a dry floor. And if you separate the liquids from the solids, you can't get either one of them. So, that's the downside of that. So, there's a lot of things happening to the barn floors on a daily basis that nobody sees or cares to check, you know. So under that layer of manure, there's all kinds of things going on. And, you know, one of your other guests coined a term that I really like, and it fits perfectly with this. It's easy to be barn blind. You see something happening often enough in a barn, and it just becomes normal. There's a hole in the floor. There's a leaky water trough, slipping on this one crossover, lower heat detection. You know, a particular gate or stall that the cows don't like to go to. Well, it's always been that way. That's what barn blind is. She also had a tip about making a barn layout map. I really like that. You put it on a cork board, and for the employees or the farmer himself, in a smaller operation, when he sees something, he's got different colored push pins that you can, pinpoint there and kind of keep track of what's going on, you know, whether it's, you know, there's more cows, more lame cows in this one particular group or pen, or, you know, less heat detection. There's all kinds of things like that, that I really like that hint and tip that she had, that would be a good one to do for everybody, I would think.
So if a producer's seeing problems with their flooring, what are the options?
Okay, well, there's a lot of different options that weren't out here compared to 30 years ago. Basically, there's about three major ones. Some last longer, some are cheaper, some, you know, it's up to the owner to do due diligence to find out what's the most appropriate for his barn and his situation, in different areas of the barn, even. You know, so often in every geographical area, they have a guy that does his thing, and they keep doing it because we've always done it that way. You know, barn blind. Mm-hmm. And these days of tight margins and, you know, profit or loss, it's good for people to do due diligence and look for the payback for every, you know, every dollar that they spend. Nobody buys seed or fertilizer or equipment or livestock or labor, you know, without knowing where the payback is. So with concrete floors, there's really only about three options that last for any length of time and are still good for the cows. You know, traditional grooving, that's been around for a long time. They're grooves that are cut into the floor about every 3 or 4 inches, about a half an inch deep. And, you know, that was developed sometime back in the 60s when outside feed bunks and concrete yards became popular for the tie stall barns, you know, with 50 cows and that sort of thing. You know, it gives them some exercise. You know, the grooving gets you about a 30% improvement on traction, but it still works on a slip and catch. You know, when the cow's foot slips, hopefully it gets caught in the groove and stops, you know. But you know, these areas of larger herds and bigger barns from the travel areas that the cows are having to go, you know, those sharp edges and the slip and catch and everything, it can shave off the sole and, you know, cause traumatic injuries too, you know, with that slip and catch. It's like jamming your thumbnail over, you know, and then sticking it in manure for 2 weeks, you know. It's kind of the same concept. And when the grooving stops working, it's best not to regroove it, because when you start doing that, you're actually taking away from the surface area of the floor to support the cow's hoof. So you got more pounds per square inch of pressure because you've got less area of floor, and you've also got two or three times the manure storage that's still sitting on that floor that the digital dermatitis and other hoof diseases live in. So, you know, that's kind of the thumbnail sketch on grooving. It works, but, you know, it has its downsides. Traction milling, that's the other option. That's process of grinding small rib texture into the concrete that gives 360 degrees traction with every step that the cow makes. So you've got, you know, pretty much firm support. There's no slip and catch thing. We developed that in the mid-90s. AgriTrack, the traction milling, works very well going over top of existing grooving. It even works better if there isn't any grooving, because you got less manure on the floor. You know, you go over the grooving and, you know, you still got that manure that's in the grooves, you know, being held in there. It's also the only process that they can do on precast slats. We worked in conjunction with the slat manufacturers in developing it back in the 90s, and because it had to be high speed, lightweight, low vibration, not take away any of the structural integrity of the slat, which happens when you do the traditional grooving. You know, they hit rebar every once in a while, and then that rusts and swells and cracks, and you know, then you got a section of slats and three cows down in the pit, you know. So seen that a few times.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. It's not good. Yeah, so we can, what we do with the traction milling, you know, we can get about 80% of traction because we don't have that slip and catch thing. And, you know, you can't duplicate pasture on concrete, but we can get you pretty close. The machines are custom made and patented. The term traction milling and AgriTrack, it's trademarked in Canada and U.S., so if it doesn't say AgriTrack, it's not true traction milling. You know, there's been a lot of people that, you know, buy scarifiers and scabblers and that sort of thing, trying to duplicate what we do. And it always ends up less effective or too aggressive. You know, that's the problem, is that you got to find that sweet spot where it's a good balance of both. You know, and rubber flooring, that's become quite big. That's the third option that a lot of people have, is rubber flooring, but it comes with its own set of problems, and it's expensive. You know, to put rubber flooring in the milking parlor, a low slope holding area, it's not so good in steep holding areas, but low slope, it's great. It gives the cows, you know, some relief from being on concrete, makes them more comfortable so that they can let the milk down and prepare, you know, for the milking. So that's always good. And, you know, that's pretty easy to see the payback on that. But, to do a whole barn in rubber, you know, it's pretty expensive to, you know, to go on the promise that the cows are more comfortable, you know.
Right.
You know, it's, you know, I've seen it so many times. Oh, the cows are more comfortable. Yeah, but where do I get the money back? Oh, they're more comfortable. No, where's the payback? Well, the cows are more comfortable. You know, it's often sold on emotion rather than financial payback. You know, I've seen a lot of rubber that was, you know, cost $10 a square foot, and it was ripped out, you know, 5 years later. So that's $2 a square foot per year that stuff cost you. And you still got to do something after you rip it out, you know, to get the traction on the floor that you covered up. So there's probably something out there that would last longer at the fraction of the cost.
Is there anything that can be done with new floors while they're being poured that's good for the cows?
Oh, sure. Yeah. The trick is to not disturb the stones below the surface of the concrete when it's still fluid. There's a thin layer of sand and Portland cement when you smooth off the concrete. And if you drag a broom through that mix too early, it pulls all the stones up, and you've got all these puncture points and pressure points. And, you know, that's not good for the cows. And so you want to wait for the proper time of the concrete being set that you can put a broom finish on it and it doesn't disturb that layer of stones. A broom finish like that, if done properly, in a scrape alley, you get about a year. In less traffic areas, you know, like walkways and that sort of thing, it'll last considerably longer because it doesn't have the scraper wear and traffic on it. But yeah, you can, you know, get, you know, 4 to 5 years out of that, and it doesn't cost you really anything to do it. So yeah, there's a roller texture that you can put on concrete floors. I've done quite a bit of it in the past, and you can do that, but it's imperative that you get it done at the right time of the concrete setting. If you do it too late, it doesn't leave much of an imprint. If you do it too early, you're going to take the hooves off of the cows in a week. You know, I've seen it so many times that we've been called in on to a farm. You know, the contractors poured the concrete, you know, on a Friday afternoon, and you know they're wanting to get away for the weekend, and they just give it a, you know, slap hazard finish, and it's not right, rather than waiting for it to be the right curing. And we get a frantic call on Tuesday to come and smooth it out.
Oh, that makes my fingers hurt. Yeah, you've mentioned imprinting patterns on concrete. Is that something people can do?
It was a big thing in the 90s and the early 00s to try and save some money, but it's not widely recommended anymore. When you push down on wet concrete somewhere, it has to come up. You know, just a simple displacement theory. And what results is a floor that starts looking like an upside down muffin tin. And that's not real good for the cows, you know. So, you know, cows need a flat, even surface, especially if they're doing a lot of walking. If they're walking on domes or uneven floor levels, you know, that's a recipe for 50 to 60% lameness right there. We've been called out to a lot of farms, not because the cows are slipping, but just to level off those domes, you know, like you got, you know, concrete that's, you know, domed, and that causes a lot of bruising and white line problems in the hooves. And, you know, it's generally the hoof trimmers that, can you do something about that? You know? So yeah, we've done a lot of that. It wasn't slipping. It's, you know, that dome effect that we were trying to get away from. So yeah. So that's what happens when, you know, imprinting.
All right. So what inspired you to develop an option that didn't exist previously?
Well, okay. Well, it's kind of a long story, but I'll try and keep it short. You know, like growing up on the farm at home when I was a kid, there was this one corner. We milked about 20, 22 cows. And there was this one corner that they had to go in and out of, you know, four times a day. And it was sloped and it was just like glass. And all that we could do was, you know, try and get them to go gently. And when they fell, you just prayed that they got back up, you know, it's yeah. Like, but that was the way it always was. And barn blind again.
Yep.
So, when grooving became a thing, you know, when they invented that, it was a massive machine, and the diamond blades were exceedingly expensive, you know, back in the 50s and 60s. it wasn't a common thing. But as the decades flew by and they came up with less costly blades that worked as well, and that the groovers just kept that expensive price, they were the only game in town. So if they could use cheaper blades but still charge the same amount of money, that that was fair game, I guess. But as I mentioned previously, 25 years on top of an air hammer, I had lots of time to think, there's got to be a better way, so we worked away at trying to change that top eighth of an inch and find that sweet spot that gave you good traction that lasted a fairly long time and wasn't too abrasive or damaging to the cows. And I've still got a whole pile of junk out of the shop that didn't work as we worked on this, but we finally found it, and it worked well locally. And so then the challenge was to see if it worked everywhere, and I spent another 25 years crisscrossing Canada, in different geographical regions and climates, worked in Manitoba in February, and they don't call it Winterpeg for nothing. You get excited when you hear that the temperature's going up to minus 15, it's
boy.
We spent a lot of time, 25 years, making sure that it worked everywhere. And we've been in the Northeast United States, Pennsylvania, New York, all up and down the Eastern Seaboard there. We've been established there for, over 10 years, and we're having the same results, the positive results. So, we're wanting to expand further into the U.S. market, but it's so huge compared to Canada that we're just not sure where to start. So if anybody has any ideas, I'd love to chat, I'd love to get some help in figuring out just how we can do that. So
if people want to reach out to you with ideas, how can they get in touch with you?
They can call our toll-free number. That works in Canada and U.S., 1-877-966-3546, or email tom@agritraction.com. We got a agritraction.com website. We got agritraction.ca website. So, and both of those have web inquiries. So, shoot us a message or a line or a question. Love to talk with you.
And if there's nothing else, I think we're going to hop into the three questions that we ask all of our guests.
Sound good.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Our Yeast 40 Ruminal and Intestinal Double Modulation by ICC Animal Nutrition. Feed solutions that surpass expectations. Learn more about the benefits of working with Schooler. Visit schooler.com/feed. That's schooler.com/feed. Natural Biologics delivers cost-effective solutions to improve health and productivity, helping conquer the rumen health and immunity challenges your animals face. Your partner for extra animal performance, Berg & Schmidt Animal Nutrition. AgriTrack, leading traction solutions for herd health. Contact us today to boost safety, comfort, and savings for your herd. Invest in the best. Who would your cows choose? Modern solutions for modern cows with AHV. Contact us to beat biofilm-related issues in your herd. Your cattle are constantly threatened by the exposure of mycotoxins in feed. Now you can know if mycotoxins are present in your feed and what you should do about it. DSM Firmenich offers a range of analytical services to assess the mycotoxin contamination and solutions to combat mycotoxins. Don't let mycotoxins contaminate your performance. Visit dsmfirmenich.com/mycotoxin-survey to learn more. That's dsm-firmenich.com/mycotoxin-survey.
All right. So the first one, as you know, is what is your favorite dairy-related book or resource?
I would have to think it was Temple Grandin's books, you know, like, yeah, she's an amazing lady. I've met her several times, and I can relate. She talks about thinking in pictures.
Yeah.
That's how my mind works, is I think in pictures. I see it. I don't think about it. It's weird, but anybody that has that same ability, they know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So, yeah. Some people don't have a mind's eye. I found that out.
That's it. The mind's eye. That's what, yeah.
All right. So what is your favorite non-dairy related book or resource?
Anything to do with history. Mm. You know, like I've just given you a thumbnail sketch of the dairy industry over the past, you know, 60, 70 years. And I've gotten to that magic age where I've seen history. I'm not reading about it, you know. It's I've seen it, and it's quite the trip, you know, just in 60 years. So I enjoy reading about things that happened 100 years ago, or you know, or even further. Just, you know, I can appreciate the evolution and unraveling of history.
So what do you think sets successful dairy professionals apart from those that are not successful?
There's a story that I like to tell. I don't know if we got time for a story.
Absolutely, we do.
Okay. When I was a teenager, we used to go roller skating, you know, with the whole four-wheel roller skates. And my grandfather said, why don't they just put wheels on them in line like ice skates? You know, this is in the 70s. And you know, I said, oh, grandpa, that'd never work, you know. And well, I crushed his spirit, unfortunately, because I says, you know, somebody smarter than you would have thought about that a long time ago, you know, if that was possible. And he actually went and bolted a couple of buggy wheels on an old pair of ice skates. And but when I told him that it would never work or whatever, he hung them up in the drive shed and died a year later. And I looked at those damn skates, you know, for a lot of years afterwards, hanging up there, and thinking, you know, yeah, maybe it would work, maybe it wouldn't. But what'd they come out in the 80s? Inline roller skates. You know, I felt awful because I doubted somebody's good ideas. You know, an innovative process, and developing this AgriTrack, I got a lot of that. That never worked. And there's a fine line between being bullheaded and confident.
Yeah.
And I was confident that it would work, and I think it's that way with anybody, you know, whether they're a dairy producer or what. Be innovative, think outside of the box. You know, if you're just doing as you're told, you're never gonna come up with something new. And that's my little anecdote about bucking the trend and you know, being secure in your own confidence. And that's what dairy producers have to do every day.
Well, I think that probably is why the dairy industry has evolved the way it has, is because people take on new ideas. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it with the developing of the barns and the ventilation and, you know, there's been so many innovative thinkers and there's been a lot of times even innovative thinkers, it's like, oh, well, that didn't work. But that's part of the process, you know.
Yep, that's how you find out it doesn't work. Yeah.
Yep, that's right. So,
well, I think that is a lovely note for us to end on. Thank you, Tom, for joining us today for this episode of the Dairy Podcast Show. Thanks to all our listeners, and we'll see you next time.
Oh, thank you for having me. That's been great. I really enjoyed it, and hope that there's some tips or hints that somebody can take home and do with what they've heard today. Thank you again.
I'm sure they will. Yeah, thank you.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.